What's the Mood, where we talk all things mood and mindset, sleep, nutrition, chemical health, and leadership. I'm your host, Julie Berry, from the Illinois Human Performance Project, and we are so glad you're here.
Joe Bush is a social science teacher at Elk Grove High School and the catalyst behind the transformative class, Leadership Through Service. He is passionate about making a positive impact in humanity. All right, Joe Bush, welcome to What's the Mood?
Hey, how are you today?
Great. How are you doing?
Excellent. You know, being a teacher is great, especially for the summers. That's that's part of the job.
this is your guys' time to enjoy, right?
Yes, I do find though it's a hard adjustment moving into the summer because I'm just on the go so much with so many different activities, and then it just stops all of a sudden. So I do have to put in particular work days to get things ready for next year. And I love the opportunity to speak with you because it's just promoting what we do.
Cool.
It feels like work, which feels good.
Good. Well, we're glad to have you. So at the Human Performance Project, you know, we follow you and the LTS Leadership Through Service group that you're a part of. And, you know, from our perspective, it just seems like there's some cool things happening there. So we're happy to have you. But why don't you tell us a little bit about, like, you personally, how long you've been at Elk Grove High School, and maybe even just how LTS started?
Sure. I've been at Elk Grove High School for the past 21 years. Prior to that, I was at Driscoll Catholic High School, and I've always been a social studies teacher. At Elk Grove, throughout the years, there's been different iterations of what LTS is now. There was a public service practicum where students went out and they did service work. They connected with businesses, doctors, lawyers, sort of micro internships, which has been absorbed now by the larger district. And about 10 years ago, I kind of had a feeling that students needed a little bit more in their lives. And I proposed to Paul Kelly, who was the principal, or coming on to be the principal at the time, about this Leadership Through Service class. And we modeled it a little bit after HERSEY, which has SOS, Service Over Self. And I did a deep dive in the research, and I just started thinking, what is it that students want? And, you know, everybody's trying to fulfill their human needs, love and connection, significance. We need a little certainty in our lives, a little uncertainty. And when you can't find those things in life, you can go get them through two things, and those being growth and contribution. And I started with that. What is a way that we can help students grow? And I thought, well, this would be, teaching leadership would be a wonderful way to do it, because all students want to be leaders. We look up to leaders. We're proud of the leaders in our lives. And the second part was contribution. How is it that we can contribute to our community, to the state, to the world? And in doing so, we'll build better leaders. Kids will then feel more significant. They'll feel more love, more connection. And I think it just really came out of a call from seeing the conversations I was having with students in my U.S. history class and my sociology class. And it was like, they wanted more. And so what could we do to give them more and give them more of an authentic experience in education?
Wow. So I'm hearing that the need you saw in the students about a decade ago, you felt like by offering a place where students could grow and contribute, it would meet the felt human need of things like connection, love, and belonging.
Absolutely. There was, and that wasn't happening in the U.S. history class that I was teaching. It wasn't happening in the sociology class that I was teaching. And those are valuable courses. You know, every course at Elk Grove High School is valuable, but I just think we needed something a little bit extra for those students that wanted more. Mm-hmm. And it was a natural way to create a class where we could answer all of those calls. We could talk about things like stress and anxiety and the things that students are dealing with now, character development, along with the leadership development. You know, and the big part of it, we always use the acronym of LEAD, learning, engagement, accountability, and desire. And that D, that last part, the desire for who they want to be in life, is so very important for them to think about who they want to be as leaders, as professionals, as sons and daughters and parents, and in every aspect of their life, they have to be able to see that desire and have goal setting strategies in order to get to that point.
Yeah. I'm curious, Joel, from the start of this class, how are you seeing this class being a natural way to meet those needs? Are you kind of like experiencing it in real time?
Absolutely. And, you know, kind of the dedication to connecting students with one another. So we're very often, more often than I ever did in the past, we're changing seats and they're getting to meet new people. Very focused on when we change seats, or at least once a week, we're having five questions that the group of five is asking and talking about, just to learn a little bit more about themselves. A lot more sharing out, a lot more conversations than I've had in other classes. Team building exercises, planning out service opportunities. So students are really stretching and getting to know each other a lot more than they would in a regular class. So I discuss all the time about changing your physical state. And I know at the Human Performance Project, that's something that you have to do. If you're sitting and you're hunched over all day long, mm-hmm. your physical state is not one that's going to respond positively to what's going on in the world. So I want to get the students up moving and connecting. Each day they're writing down two gratitudes right when we start class. We have, you know, some of the best quotes that I've ever come across in the world, and they're discussing those things, and it really does change their physical state. And some of the feedback that I get is, you know, when I come into this class, it makes me feel relaxed, it makes me feel happy, it makes me feel driven, which are all positive things. Mm-hmm. And I think they get that not just from me, but from one another. Now, these are all motivated students. And we discuss that law of the inner circle. If you hang out with five highly motivated, successful people, you are going to become the sixth. And that's what we're really pushing our students to do.
That's great. What are some of the leadership through service events or activities that you've done maybe in the past year, like that are standing out as like highlights for you?
Okay. Yeah, the big ones that we do, you know, number one is our Serve Our Seniors event, where we find houses through either Elk Grove Village or through the senior center of people that are senior citizens or maybe have some sort of disability or some hardship where they can't clean up their lawns in the fall. And we brought out about 20 students. We did about 16 houses where we went and we raked leaves. We cleaned out gutters. We, you know, trimmed bushes. We basically took care of people who we're struggling. Maybe they couldn't afford to have someone come out and do that. And that's just great. And it's fascinating to hear the number of students are like, man, I never liked doing this in my own house, but I'm happy to do it for somebody else. And it's part of it. It's part of them working together and seeing their best friend and going out. And, you know, we get donuts, we get coffee, and it just becomes an event. So that's a big one. We hosted our most successful blood drive this year. And that's exciting because students, when you first say like you're gonna donate blood, like, no, we're never gonna do that. And then it's just like a ball rolling down a hill, and they say, well, if he gave blood, you know what, I can give blood, and she gave blood, I can give blood, and they did that. And so we, you know, I think we got like 45 units of blood, which in the past years we've been doing about 30. So I think every unit of blood they say can save up to 3 lives, which is great. Probably the most fun one, and we'll be doing this again in the fall, is the cereal bowl through the Elk Grove Township. And the cereal bowl is Elk Grove High School and Rolling Meadows each collect as much cereal as they can. And it's donated to the Elk Grove Township food pantry, which now it's serving like over 750, 800 families a month. And when we started this 5 years ago with the cereal bowl, I think they were doing about 200 families a month. And the great thing about cereal is it's the thing that every family needs and every family takes home. So when we collect all these cereal boxes, the people at the township food pantry are able to, you know, spend their other grant money on meats and vegetables and stuff like that. So I think last year between both schools, we collected about 2,000 boxes of cereal, and Elk Grove has been really successful in this. And Rolling Meadows Principal Megan Kelly, and they just hired Robbie Gold as their football coach, and they are already talking about taking down Elk Grove next year. And so, you know, my hope is, you know, I hope we collect 3,000 boxes, and I don't care if it's 2,999 for Meadows and one for us. we're doing a good thing, but the kids have a lot of fun with the competition. And then it all culminates at the football game in October with Roy Meadows and Elk Grove. And they love that. They love that, that competition.
I love it too. I mean, I'm not a part of it, but the vision is very tangible, you know, like I can catch on to the idea, and that's just really cool how easy it seems like it is for the community to get involved in meeting a real need.
Right. And the students have so much fun, you know, making posters, making videos, TikToks. I mean, I think that's some of the stuff that we saw on Instagram, and mm-hmm. and it's just so easy to promote. And I think now, you know, I'm also on the Elk Grove Village board. And so that's something like we've talked about in the past, like bringing in the mayor of Elk Grove Village, bringing in the mayor of Rolling Meadows and really blowing this thing up, which we have. I mean, every single year it's gotten better. And I think the fact that former Chicago Bears and NFL kicker Robbie Gould is now coaching at Rolling Meadows, that's going to make it even better. So maybe we hit 5,000 boxes. Maybe he just writes a check. I don't know, whatever, but it's good for the community. And it's positive for the students to see. And the other part, you know, the backside of all of this with service learning is that the students begin to understand the needs in the community, why we have these needs and what we can do to fulfill these needs. And so people from the township have come in and talked about what it is. We've sent students over to the food pantry so they can see it, because they're not familiar with it and what it looks like. And that's good for students to be able to see and then kind of report back to us on what it is.
You touched on this a little bit about the blood drive, Joe, but I'm kind of curious from your vantage point and perspective. There at times, you know, with like adolescents, emerging adults, there can be like a fairly powerful resistance. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you mentioned the blood drive and students were like, I'm not doing that. But something happened, at least in that regard, where in the end, they did open themselves up to the idea of serving in that way, or taking action in a way that they maybe had it like this initial response of no. What's the trick to, you know, helping with the resistance of like a teenager or adolescent? I'm curious.
Yeah. So what's interesting is, and I'll talk about both what I've seen in the female and the male perspective. Females are ready to go. They want to do it. And the only issue they have is that there's more stringent requirements for girls. They have to be a certain height and weigh a certain amount. But we had more girls that signed up that got turned away because they either didn't weigh enough or they weren't tall enough. But they're good to go. They want to serve. On the boys' side, what I realized is we made it a competition. And it was really funny. So they, you know, when they hook everything up and then they, you know, start drawing the blood, and there's a timer. And one of the boys, I think he did it in like 3 minutes. And so all of a sudden we started saying, well, David got it done in 3 minutes. Like, well, I can beat that. You know what? I'm going to give blood just so I can beat that. And it's like, okay, whatever it's going to take. It's almost like, you know, when my son was, you know, 2, 3, 4 years old, and be like, I bet you can't run upstairs and grab my phone in under 30 seconds. And they're going to do it because we make it a game. Yeah. And I think that's gamifying a lot of our goals is really, really important, and getting them to see, like, can we get more blood than we did last year? Can we get more cereal than we did last year? Can you donate blood faster than someone else? Can you donate, you know, they have, you can do a single pint, or then they have this Power Red where they actually take it out, spin it, and it provides more red blood cells for people. So then, well, if you're going to give one pint, then I'm going to do the Power Red because I'm going to save 6 lives instead of saving 3 lives. And gamifying those things is really important. And then, you know, I think with any good leadership, it's, you know, there's a lot that has to do with rewards. So the students that set up the blood drive, like, we went out to lunch and we had Chipotle, and they love that as well. So the reward system is good. And I think the blood, you get a free pizza when you donate blood. Yeah. And people, like, they buy into that.
Yeah, but you reframe it, right? You change it, the nature of, you know, the way one might be thinking about it, and all of a sudden it might open their mind to taking action, is kind of what you're saying, I think.
Yeah, the reframe, I think, is a lot of what we do, where they realize, like, you're not losing out on something, you're gaining something. Because at first people are like, well, I'm losing out on 4 hours of a Saturday if I'm raking leaves. But then I think, what are you gaining? And they, once they experience it, they realize that they are fulfilling those human needs, and they feel so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you noticing at the high school at large, like in your maybe the culture of your student body or your school, since this class has been there?
I think it's there is a more positive school culture. You know, students are always looking up to someone for something, and the more positivity we can put in front of them, the better. And you know, here's probably the best example is when we do Veterans Day assembly, and you know, we'll have 60 or 70 veterans that come in, and we honor them, and the band plays. We have a big assembly. Each one of the LTS students matches up with a veteran, and then you have the freshmen and the sophomores and the juniors kind of sitting in the stands, and they're looking down, and they're seeing all this, like, you know, all these veterans and all the student leaders, and they will tell me the next year when they come into class, like, that is the thing that I wanted to do. I was so proud of our school to be able to see that happen. And the students who experienced their time with the veterans, like, God, those stories were so great. And they love connecting with them. And you have that intergenerational activity where you're just assuming, well, I don't know, I don't have anything in common with this person who's 80 or 90 years old. Mm-hmm. I think the other part is with LTS is it's given people a reason to want to try different things. And whether it's Veterans Day or the blood drive, or they play in the St. Baldrick's basketball game, you know, staff versus students. There's been other groups like Estudiantes Unidos, which is doing summer camps all year in the Oasis Trailer Park, Student Council. There's a lot of merging of things. I really think having a class is so important. I've tried to, you know, help other schools with putting leadership curriculums together where they're meeting once a month or twice a month. And it just having the kids there every day makes a huge difference because you're really changing the way the students think. Mm-hmm. And it gives the freshmen, sophomores, and juniors something sort of to look forward to as a capstone course. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of positivity. And I think we're trying, you know, with the work that we do on social media, with just, and we have a big, bulletin board outside our classroom that kids are walking by that I'll see, they'll say, oh my gosh, that looks pretty cool, I'd like to do that. So there is this desire to want to do more, and a lot of kids don't even know what we do. They just think, wow, that's fun and I want to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. From the outsider's perspective, Joe, it looks like there's a lot of student ownership. Like, you know, I don't see you all over the social media. I see students taking the videos and doing the videos. And is that accurate?
That is 100% accurate. They are far better than I ever will be on social media. And so a lot of times if they're doing something, I might be recording it, but then they're running with it. And right away, you know, in the first week or two of class, we talk about, you know, what our skill sets are. Mm-hmm. And really quickly, you learn that every student has the opportunity to be a leader. And some are leading out front because they can make those videos and make them look great. And mm-hmm. others are behind the scenes because they're organizing or that they're making phone calls. That's probably the best part is the student ownership, that there'll be days, you know, if my principal walked in or another teacher walked in, I mean, I could literally be sitting with my feet up on my desk and mm-hmm. things are just happening. And I don't know exactly what's happening, but things are getting done. And so you've got a group making a poster, another one making the video, another planning something out. Maybe another group is off at a store and they're buying supplies. But the student ownership, and that's what they love. Like, they want to be trusted to do these things.
Yeah, that's great. Are you seeing, like, what are you seeing as maybe like the greatest need among youth and adolescents? You've been at this for a long time. Curious of your take on that.
Yeah, I think that the number one thing that they need, and I tell them this, that the number one thing that I'm selling is authenticity. That's it. You know, the students are with me about 2.5 hours a week, and they're with their phones on social media about 28 hours a week. And, you know, I at the very beginning, I'll explain to them, if I don't live it or believe it, I will not teach it. And most of the class is, you know, my own personal experiences of wanting to grow in different areas, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially. And I'm trying to put together the best curriculum that I can for them to sort of open their eyes and see, wow, there is a different way, not a better way, but there's a different way to look at things and challenging them. And so we have about 85 days and we'll do a lot of reflection where I'll say to the students like, okay, what's the biggest takeaway? And what surprises me is everyone has sort of a different take. It's like, oh, I loved day 37 or I loved day 42. But all of that, the underlying theme is that authenticity, that myself as an educator, I have to be the same way. Like there's an old country song, he's the same way on Saturday night as he is on Sunday morning, whether he's out or he's at church. This is sort of who he is. And I think that's really important for the students to see, because they're getting pulled in so many different directions where they don't have like this base of what is real. And I always discuss this idea that a tree with strong roots can survive any storm. And I explain to them when they go off to college, you have to know who you are, because you can easily be carried away by a multitude of different influences, both good and bad. But the people that know who they are, that have those strong roots, make decisions ahead of time before being pulled into, hey, Friday night, we're going out to the bars, or let's not go to class on Thursday because we're going to go do this other thing. So hopefully they see that authenticity and they realize like, okay, there is a way to do things. And honestly, the most successful leaders in the world just sort of do things the same way and the right way all the time. And all those little building blocks add up to become the person that they are today.
Yeah, that's great. All right, my last question for you. Yeah. I know you're passionate about leadership. You kind of ooze it. It kind of oozes out of you naturally, authentically. What are you learning these days? Or, like what's something that is, it's kind of like churning, or you're learning about it, or it's catching your attention?
So right now I'm spending a lot of time working on individual, like personal coaching. And I guess the big thing is I'm trying to find the right questions. What are the right questions that I can ask to help to get people to think in a different way? So right now I'm kind of in a collection mode where I'm collecting quotes, I'm collecting ideas. I'm hoping to start, I'm hoping I'm going to do it. Every week having just like a 5-minute motivation. There's so much content that I could teach the students that I want to make sure that they're thinking, both, looking at quotes, but also that I can just have 5 minutes to say, here's a brand new idea. What do you guys think about? Let's talk about this. And we did it last year. We did this inner outer quote circle where, so there's like, 14 people inside, 14 people out. They each get a quote. They talk about the quote. They figure out what it is that they like about the quote. And then they play rock, paper, scissors. And the winner can trade their quote. They can take someone else's. And then we just moved. And so they had, 14 or 15 different conversations about that. And so a lot of it is, for me right now, what's churning me is questions. What are the best questions to ask? What are the best quotes that we can ask to get people to think differently? Mm-hmm. Like one right now that's on my mind is boring will make you rich. And that is just like, people are like, no, it's not like that. And I'm like, okay. And there's a lot of kids, you probably talk about it in HPP that with all the online gambling there is, but I'm just like, just follow a system, just put money away all the time and that'll make you rich, or just work out every day and that will make you fit, or give time to your spouse every single day and that'll make a great relationship. And cool. So getting students to, I'll just throw that out there. Like, what does this mean to you? And it's cool to hear the different perspectives. So right now, just collection mode. And I got a date set in July when I'm going to sort of put it all together and I guess go to like my own personal grad school to try to figure out what are the best questions and what are the best quotes that we can ask students to get them to think differently.
That's awesome. And that to me is like leadership, like you said, our current world is so content heavy, and we can talk and share, but to cultivate conversation where we can think ourselves. And I think that's really important to continue to evolve and grow as a society. So I love that.
Yeah. I would say one other thing that I'm really kind of focused on is just how we filter things that come through our brain and making people aware of that. You know, like I always tell my students, like if I'm walking down the hall and my division head and my principal are talking, like I have a decision to make. I can think that they're talking about me and I can let that take me down a rabbit hole of disaster. Or I can just assume that they're probably just having a conversation because they have a lot of conversations. And so, you know, in our mind, when things come in, all we can really do is like we generalize them, we distort them, or we delete them. And getting students to see like what they're aware of. And very, very early on, I'll show students a big like grocery store with like 30 different fruits. And I'm like, what fruit do you notice first? And because our mind can only take in this, you know, 5 to 7 little chunks of information at a time. And so I'm trying to figure out other ways to teach that, that awareness and that processing of what it is we're looking at. And then making sure that we're not just falling for everything. Oh my gosh, I saw this on social media. This must be true. I saw my teacher say this. This person must hate me. My friend in third grade no longer likes me because of this. Like just taking that step back and being aware of how we process information.
That's great. Cool. Well, thanks, Joe, for sharing with us about LTS and wish you guys just another awesome year ahead with that class.
Yeah, thank you for all the support and, you know, reposting the things that we do. It's we're definitely in harmony and hopefully we can continue to work together.
Yeah.